Welcome to the Seek Holy Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We're so glad that you're tuning in, that you're listening today. Zari, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty good. I just ran my second 5K, which I took a break from running because I was like nervous that I wasn't going to be able to do it all. But my goal was just keep running. Don't stop. And so I ended up not stopping, which I'm very proud of. And I beat my last run by like 23 seconds. So I was like, we'll take this progress.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Congratulations, girl. And you haven't really been training that hard over the last couple of weeks. So for you to get in this race and improve, I mean, talk about the grace of God. We love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm grateful. So I've been doing a different kind of workout lately because of the job I got. So I just got back into running. But I think running is cool because it teaches you so much about like perseverance. And like, even if you could do like a 5K run one day, doesn't mean you can do it the next day. It can be based on what you're eating or the weather or so many different things. So I think like, I really enjoy the challenge of it all. But how are you doing, Britt?
I'm doing good. I mean, I'm so happy that the summer in Texas has not been as hot as it's been in the past. So today has been a very restful day. And restful for me is really just taking my day slowly. I ran some errands. I went to a new coffee shop right up the street from my house and got a tiramisu latte with almond milk. It was fire. Got coffee with an old friend this morning. And so I don't know. Like, it's been a pretty good day. The weather is beautiful outside. So I'm doing good. So thank you, girl. And I'm so proud of you. You really actually motivate me to want to be more disciplined in exercising and taking care of my body. Because I don't think I have ever thought of myself as a runner. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to be a gym girly, and that's coming. It's coming. But yeah. You're motivating me. I want to be like you, girl.
And I was not a runner. And that's what, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, that's not for me, I could barely run a full mile like a couple months ago. So it's possible. My suggestion, even though we're not sponsored yet, is to download that Nike Run app and just follow their plans. It's really helpful. So you can do it. If you're listening, you're trying to get that part of your life together, grab an accountability partner. That's something that has been so helpful. When I first started going to the gym, I had Betty, which was one of the guests we just had on our episodes not too long ago. Yeah. And Betty was my gym partner. And sometimes the only thing that got me to the gym was knowing that she was going to be there. And so knowing that you have someone who's checking for you or like incentivizing yourself, like I love gamification. I made like a checkoff list and like me and Betty had to hit 100 days or something like that before we could get Apple Watches. Wow. You see, I got the Apple Watch, so.
Because you don't back down from a challenge, girl. Not ever.
No. Exactly.
I love it. I love your motivation, friend. Well, if this is your first time listening to the Seek Holy Podcast, my name is Brittany. I'm one of the co-hosts here, and we're on this podcast with my other co-host,
Zari Wilson. Nice to meet everyone. Glad you guys are tuning in.
Yes. And so we're not here to just talk about running and finding a new coffee shop. This episode is actually an opportunity for us to hear about Zari's testimony. And so I'm just so grateful that I get to talk you up and ask you questions about what God has done in your life and your story. And I've heard a lot of it, but I'm still looking forward to God unveiling some new things in your heart and in your story, and kind of hearing it with fresh new ears and fresh new eyes. And so I'm excited. So you ready, girl? You ready to talk about what God has done in your life?
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So one of the first questions I think we should kind of start off with, because, you know, this is a Seek Holy Podcast and we're talking about living for God and living lives that are holy and set apart. Would you like just share how you gave your life to Jesus and what that was actually like for you?
Yeah. So actually, I grew up going to church. One of the highlights I remember is my oldest sister, Brittany. She would have tons of teenagers over the house when she was in high school. On a Wednesday night, my mom would cook dinner, they would play video games, and then they were off to Bible study. And like, this is something I got to witness. I watched my sisters do dance team for the church. And just like, I got to see and witness these role models. And like, that was a big deal for me. I feel like I really chose for myself to follow the Lord in middle school, because prior to that, my mom's philosophy was, if you're not at church, you don't go anywhere today. So you could be sick if you want to, but you're not hanging out with a friend, you're not going out to eat, like you gonna stay in this house.
So, wow.
That was her philosophy. And middle school is like when I really moved into, I actually want to be in church for myself. I want to be present. I want to learn more about the Lord. And that shift really came at a time where my grandmother who lived with us had just passed. That was just a challenge. Both my sisters had gone off to college at this point, and I was struggling with suicide ideation, depression, all those different things. And I got pulled up to the teen class early. And so shout out to Pastor Ray, if you're listening, that was just a pivotal moment for me where I felt like it was more than just fill in the blanks. It was more than just like the coloring pages and things like that. Like I was witnessing these teenagers ask all kinds of crazy questions about life and different things. And it was just so authentic, and it made me hungry more to know the Lord. And so I would say, like, even though I had been following Jesus, I was getting to know him. Like I even probably confessed like to be a Christian before. I had wonderful encounters with God before middle school. I would say middle school really was that time where I felt like, this is my relationship with God, and I want to know more, and I feel this hunger to know him. So that's when I would say it was like a pivotal moment for me.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned basically being in community, watching community, and then being in community where people were living for God and wrestling with hard things, and that helping to grow your faith. I think oftentimes we want to shy away from the wrestle, but you kind of leaned in at an early age and got to experience more of God in that way. So talking about those experiences, how has your experience with God changed over the years? How has your relationship with God changed over the years based on different seasons of life? Like you talked about the loss of your grandmother in high school. And then I know some things happened as you went transition to college and relate and dealing with different people and relationships. How has your relationship with God really changed in all those seasons?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I feel like something that I would challenge everyone to do, which I did as kind of like as a workshop activity when I was interning for the UGA Wesley Foundation, is map out your whole life. And then look at where God is in each part. And I did that, and I realized at every single drop in the story, it was like the Lord was grabbing my hand and pulling me back up. And so like, I think like, yes, my grandmother passed away, but then I got pulled up into the teen class when a time where I was struggling with the suicide ideation and all those things. Then in high school, I was a part of this girl group. The Lord had warned me that we weren't going to be friends for long. And I just thought it was going to fall off. But no, it was actually like a rumor that they started about me in school. And it was very isolating. And at that time, well, then God started allowing me to do mini sermons at church. And like, I got more involved in church, and like God pulled me up in that way. And shout out to my parents for being my besties in that season. So if you're young and listening, you know, enjoy friendship with your parents. And then I get to college, and I think your college, you know, in college, you're really figuring out like, are the things that I practice at home, like whether that's going to church, reading scripture, like praying, am I going to stick to those things when I'm in college, or am I going to veer away from that? And I had to learn in that time, like, God was trying to elevate me from like a baby Christian to like deeper in my faith. But I feel like at first I just thought I was stagnant. So like I started feeling distant from God my freshman year. But really and truly what it was is that like the verse a day wasn't satisfying me enough. Like it wasn't filling me up, because it was just milk. I needed solid food. I needed to actually go deeper. So yes, I was feeling distant from God. I wasn't getting what I used to get from reading a verse a day anymore, because God was trying to take me to the next level. So my freshman year of college was very transformational. I was talking to someone throughout the entire year. And I even noticed like changes in myself, like through my own intervention, because I was like, ooh, I'm starting to purse a little bit. I'm like, this is not Zari. Like, what is this? So I was quick to check myself. I said, friends, something's wrong with me. Pray for me, team. And I ended up embarking on a single for a year journey, which that story in itself is crazy. I'm just going to go ahead and tell it because I feel like people need to hear this.
Yes, please do. I'm in it.
So I was in a situationship and I had been praying for God to like show me like what I should do with this relationship. And so I was like, it was the last week of school. So I had been out partying the night before. I woke up late. I didn't know if I was going to go to church that morning, but I was like, I need to go to church. So I'm driving to church and I just happened to like accidentally download this song to my phone. And it's called Good Morning by India Irie. And in the song, she says, I prayed for God's will to be done. And the very next day you were gone. And I'm like, okay. And then I asked God, should I give this man another chance? And then I look on the road. This is a road I have been on several times at this point. Like I know the signs on this road. And there was a sign that literally said, no. In red, no. No, I'm like, okay, Lord, you're coming on strong with it. I walk into the service and the pastor's like, I challenge you to take a year off of dating. And I'm writing my start date and I'm writing my end date. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not doing this. Okay. This is my prime time to date. He's like, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So then I tell all my friends, like, this is what happened. Me and so-and-so are really actually done because I'm about to take this year off of dating and seek the Lord. And everyone's like, okay, girl, we'll believe it when we see it. Cause you've literally been talking to somebody all year. And then on top of that, like my sisters, they were like, this is crazy because this is the time where like you get to meet tons of people. You're never going to be in a space where there's going to be all these people there. And what's actually funny is that both my sisters ended up doing their own versions of single for 3 months, 6 months, something like that after that. So I was like, okay, wow. Look at everybody moving and getting closer to the Lord and prioritizing their relationship with the Lord. I felt like that was awesome too, just to see that trickle effect. So that was transformational because that summer I started blogging through each week of that process. I low-key felt like Taylor Swift writing down my story because the guy did text me. He's like, take this blog down. I'm like, it's not about you. Well, it is about you, but it's really about me. I was like, this is how Taylor feels when she writes music? Because I love her, girl. I was like, oh my gosh. But I did that. I blogged for a year straight. I started preaching full sermons during that time at my church because I was commuting back to church at that point. Mm-hmm. And I started on campus ministry with two of my friends called Daughters of the Throne. And wow. That was really cool too, just to see like, that was kind of birthed in that summer. I was doing the single for a year. I went to a conference and I felt deeply like I'm going to host conferences. And then I went to Wesley at the beginning of my sophomore year, which is like this big service for students on campus. And I remember hearing God say, like, why are you waiting to do what I've called you to do? And like, you want me to do conferences now? I thought I was supposed to be doing conferences like when I was older, you know, like 20 something, like now this age. And he was like, no, now. And so we ended up doing our first women's conference my sophomore year. And we did another one my senior year, I want to say.
Do you remember the topics?
The first one was like walking in your purpose. And then the second one was like called Open Ambassadors. It was for like being ambassador for Christ.
Wow.
So I'm surprised God brought this back to mind. So it was so cool. Like, I don't know, like, and when I tell you the Daughters of the Throne, really, truly, it was like co-ed Bible study. So, I mean, we did our own women like conference things, but we had like guys coming to the Bible study because really it just started off as people just gathering in my apartment. And then, you know, I think my roommates were like, girl, this is too many people. So then we moved to like a common room and like, I mean, it was like in the upper floor of the building. So that felt like special in and of itself. But also like it was truly student led. Every week someone else would sign up to like lead Bible study for the group. And that was such a special time to be there and to see that. So, yeah. Then when I graduated, I ended up going to work for the UGA Wesley Foundation, which is so interesting and cool because I had gone once my freshman year, once my sophomore year when God spoke to me there and said, like, why are you waiting to do what I've called you to do? But like, they weren't as strongly a part of my story. My senior year, I had hosted a panel on racial reconciliation with them. And that's kind of how I got drawn in. But like, Wesley knows this, so they're not going to be shocked. But Wesley was really white. Okay. Like really, right. Like at the time it was rock band music. And like at the time I was like, I want my gospel choir. Now I can get with all Christian music. I don't care. Like rock band, whatever. I don't mind. But like back then I was like, this is not what I'm accustomed to. But so I was like, it felt really strange. And then also in Black culture, you just don't go take like unpaid internships. I don't think we're really set on that kind of, like, that's just not something I feel like a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. So I think like it was challenging to think like, my parents just paid 4 years of college. Thank you. My parents, love you guys. And now I'm going to go work for free. But like, I saw so much of God's favor on it. And that's something like when I was trying to decipher, like, am I actually going to go work for free and work for the Wesley Foundation? And like, God, is this what you really want? Cause I was like balancing between, do I go get my master's next or do I do this thing? And something my brother-in-law shared with me, he said, God pays for what he orders.
Amen.
And that changed everything for me. That's like one of my favorite quotes now. I put it on everything because it really set the tone for me. Like if God's calling me somewhere, he is going to cover me, provide for me. I'm going to be okay. And that is a lesson that I still feel like I need to be reminded of. That's why I say write your story out, because sometimes the lessons you've learned, you need to go back and review. Okay, study what you've already been through. God provided through that whole year. My church walked alongside me. I'm so thankful to the New Zion crew and Swanee for helping to support me while I was doing that unpaid internship. They really rallied behind me. So that was amazing. I feel like there was moments where I was really fearful. I mean, so it was like around November, like my church hadn't chose to support me just yet. And I was like, God, I have a voice note of it where I was like, oh, I don't know how things are going to work. I don't know how finances are going to work. And then like, just a few weeks later, I invited my pastor at the time to come speak at a Wesley event. And he was like, so you're an unpaid intern? He was like, we're supporting you. And like, that's like amazing.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
To see how God came through. And like I said, forever grateful for my church community for stepping in like that. And so I think those are some highlights there you can see. But like, there's other things that obviously happened after Wesley. I went on to div school at Duke, which was interesting, a whole different testimony in and of itself, and worked full time at Duke as a residence coordinator, which is in housing. A lot of people confuse that with like medical stuff and they get really excited. I'm like, no, student affairs, which is still ministry in its own way because there's so many things that you experience there, like people, it's people, and that is ministry. So I think I covered some highlights, some strong points there. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. I mean, and you talked about all these different transitions and you talked about community and all of that. And a lot of what you shared, I love that you have documented and you have receipts of how God has shown up in your life. So you can go back and remind yourself, hey, when I enter a new challenge or a new situation, God pays for what he orders. I've seen him move in my life. I've seen him show up. And even in things that seem like this may be too early, like it may be too early for me to start doing conferences, but Lord, you're going to make sure that I have everything I need to move forward to that. And I think that is amazing. And so thinking about, yes, God has done so much in your life. He's blessed you in your obedience. I know that, you know, in the word, it says to pick up your cross and follow him. So there's some sacrifices. There's some things you have to lay down. There's some things you have to die to. What did that look like in some of your seasons, in whether that was in high school or college or when you were in divinity school, after divinity school as a resident director? What sacrifices did you have to make? And sometimes the sacrifices that God has us make, we're like, yeah, Lord, I could lay that down. That relationship, I didn't even want that anyway. But there's some things that we struggle to lay down. So what did that look like for you?
I think a couple of things. You think about with the Wesley Foundation, you're laying down status. You're laying down like worldly success. I would hear like my dad telling his friends about what I was doing next. Like, she's taking a gap year. And at the time I had no plans on going to grad school. So I'm like, this is not a gap year. I'm going to work for the Lord. And that is not just something that happened with Wesley. I think even in this season now where I left my job before I had another job. And I think I'm laying down this worldly success. I've thought about law school. I've thought about all the things that I feel like would kind of give me that comfort and feeling like I'm successful, I'm doing something. But I think that is something you lay down when you're following the Lord and recognizing your identity can't be found in what the world says is successful. And there's nothing wrong with being an attorney. There's nothing wrong with making money, but it has to be where God is leading you to, and it can't be your identity. And so that's something I'm still learning, even in this time now where I've moved back to Georgia. Right now, I'm back with my parents, which, you know, some people like 30, you're in your parents' house. That's crazy. But I'm seeing it as a gift. I think the enemy's plan would be for me to see this as a time where you failed. You ended up back in your parents' house. Like, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. But in actuality, I mean, I left Duke on great terms. I left in a space where I had control of my decision. I chose to leave where I can now focus on this podcast. I can now focus on doing fitness stuff that I wouldn't have ever had the time to do if I was still in residence life, because that's a lot of time that you put into that, after hours and all. And so I feel like it is a gift, the things that I'm in now, but it would be the world's perception, the enemy's perception, to make me feel like, you have dropped to rock bottom. You completely failed. And I'm like, this is not forever. This is temporary, but I'm going to take this rest that the Lord is giving me and enjoy it now. So I think that's one thing. One thing that may be really relatable to maybe anyone listening, but definitely my women, ladies, these men. Yeah. The men. One thing that will happen is an unsaved man will surely find you. Okay. And he'll be fine. He'll be 6 feet plus. Okay. Super attractive. And he will find you. And you'll hold on. You'll be like, I've been here, ladies. Okay. I can speak from experience. Like I said, we're just friends. And this is not going to be more than what it is. And it turned out to be more than what it is. So that is a sacrifice that I have struggled with, and a lesson I had to continually learn, but I'm getting better at. And I think dating in general, which we'll do a whole thing on that probably at some point too, but dating is hard.
Yes.
Like I said, one thing, those men who are unsaved will always find you. So that is hard.
But you know what? I have to come. Yeah, they are nice. But I will commend you, because I mean, I've walked with you when you have encountered some guys and you thought maybe they knew the Lord, had a relationship with him, with the Lord, and found out they weren't. They were just kind of on the cusp. But the way you still ministered to them, I was like, she better use it all for his glory. Use every date, use every conversation to point back to him.
I know my girls can feel me when I say, like, you go on a date as a Christian woman and you're like, God, when is this going to stop being ministry right now? Like, I'm out here saving marriages. I'm like going on these dates from people I met online. I didn't know this man was married. He was like, I'm going through a divorce. I'm like, why are you going through a divorce? And why are you here on a date? And that is not a reason to divorce your wife. Y'all can fix it. Turn
you
into ministry.
Literally was. Exactly.
Yes.
Now you think, go back.
Go back to your wife. I'm so glad. He's like, you're the first date that I've been on since I said, great. This is what the Lord wants you to do.
Right.
Go and reconcile with your wife.
Divine assignment. That's what you were on, a divine assignment, like, to restore that marriages.
That man was 6'7". I was like, oh, dang it. Yeah.
He will bless you tenfold.
Right. So, ladies, relationships. But ultimately, too, I will say, like, and I had someone tell me too, which is actually kind of scary, that, like, if you weren't Christian, this would work out. And I'm like,
ooh. Wow.
I'm like, ouch. I'm still single, ladies. And so I'm still, you know, waiting, all those things. But I also know too, which God has shown me in some previous relationships, like, if I were to pass away and we had kids, do I want this person to raise my kids? And what are they raising and guiding them to, right? That has been kind of transformational for me to think about, like, who is going to be the father of my children? And that has helped. If I can't care enough for myself, I can care enough for the kids that are going to come after me. The last thing I would say, which came up in the first podcast, leaving the sorority was a big thing that I had to lay down. I talked about how it was a big part of my family's culture and still is. I mean, I was raised on seeing my mom and my dad be really engaged when they would go back to homecoming with their organizations. I have seen my sister cross. I've been in step shows when I was a kid. Like, I grew up just really admiring the people in these organizations. And I still admire those people as people, not as the organizations that they're currently in. But choosing to leave felt heavy because it was something that I had wanted to do since I was a little kid. I mean, I used to have tons of posters in my room when I was a kid. I was making them. Like, I was like, I'm a future gonna be XYZ, blah, 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 on my wall. And then I had screensavers. Like, I was like obsessed with it. Like, I wanted to do, I was in cotillions, all kinds of things. Like, I was really involved in it. So, and then my church community was really involved in it. So it really felt like this moment of like, people who love the Lord are in this organization, God. So why, as a woman who also loves the Lord, why am I being called out of this? And I mean, he started to reveal truth. And there's tons of really good videos that are about denouncing that would tell you what is wrong with these organizations. And I shared before, this is not a denouncing podcast, but I think it would be me skipping over a big part of my story to not share. And mm-hmm. something, Britt, that you talked about one time when we were talking about this was like the story of Jezebel and how like how Jezebel is like, you can worship your God, but also add all these other things. And yeah. I think that just really stood out to me because that's basically kind of like what it is. I don't think anyone goes into these orgs thinking I'm worshiping Minerva or anyone else, like, or a Greek god, but they're at the heart of the organization. And so it's really, you know, crafty of the enemy to do things like that.
Yeah. And I think it's really simple to listen to what you just said about denouncing your sorority. And if you don't have that testimony of stepping away from a sorority or joining a sorority, you may think, okay, well, that part's not for me. But there are so many things that we try to identify ourselves as in culture. And the only identity that the Lord has asked us to identify ourselves as is as a believer. And yeah. So I think it can be so difficult to lay aside those labels that the world wants to put on you or labels you want to pick up. And they seem so small. They don't seem like a big deal, but it's so easy to put those things above our identity in Christ. And so if you're listening to that, and I challenge you to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, and say it like that, hey, Lord, is there anything that any label, any identity I am placing above my identity in Christ, please reveal that to me and help me to lay that aside, because we just don't want to get caught up in that. And I really commend you for that. And you talk about it very simply, but I remember walking with you for a couple years as you just wrestle, even with just making the decision. But then even after you made the decision, wrestling with God of like, okay, I was obedient. Now what? Like,
yeah.
What will happen next? Is something radically going to happen? Is something radically going to change? And you are now starting to see the fruit of that decision, but it took a while. It took a while for you to be able to see that. And so I would love for you to even talk about, you kind of breezed by it a little quickly, but I want to go back to it, of just navigating when you are obedient to what God has asked you to do, and your life doesn't look the way you thought it would look. Specifically, I'm even thinking about your time as a resident director. You really enjoyed that time and you got to pour into so many students, but you spent a lot of years there really like, okay, Lord, is this all that you have for me? Is there more? Yeah. Are you going to call me to more? And so I would love to just hear how you wrestled with God in that season and many other seasons that you've had, and even talking about where you are now.
I think I was very blessed and fortunate to have many situations where I felt like I was being obedient to God. And then like immediately or almost immediately, it felt like God came through in a significant way. I'm talking about like Wesley Foundation. I said yes to that. Then God brought financial support and all those things. And it felt like immediately it got better. And I think with like leaving the sorority, for example, it wasn't immediately like, and now like this random $1,000 plus check is coming in the mail. It didn't feel like immediate blessing or anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was actually a lot of grief. It felt like seeing my ex everywhere. Like I worked on a college campus. So seeing that in that space, anytime you would drive, there's like license plates and different things. It was just a time of grief, even with my family feeling like it put some strains on some relationships for a second, like grief. Yeah. And I think just like scripture really like encouraged me in that, but like also my community really encouraged me in that. But I'm just thinking of Jesus telling people, you have to leave your mother and father to come follow me. Like, come on. And I'm like, I haven't had to leave my mom and dad to follow you yet, really. Like, I push back. I call some necessary defiance on them, you know? I'm like, you know, like, the Lord said I need to go work for free, you know? Right. But like, yeah. So I think sometimes being obedient to God isn't always about like getting this big reward. Oh, when I did single for a year, I just knew my man was coming after, you know, because like I witnessed like my sisters, one of my sisters went through her couple months of singleness and she was like engaged a few months after. I was like, okay, God, that's tea. Me next. I thought I was going to be married by 23. Wow. So I'm 30, guys. Okay. It did not happen quite like that. But like, I think God had to like really check me. He's like, is the reward a relationship and closeness with me, or is the reward from single for a year a man? And I'm like, can it be both? So, yeah. And then with Duke, I definitely was there a little longer than I expected to be. And I still think God worked through all of that. Like, I grew so much. And sometimes, like, if you're not getting, like, I was applying to different jobs, different things. And sometimes if you're not getting a next step, the answer is to stay where you are. And I'm like, okay. But I think also sometimes when you start to feel that wrestling, it's like God's letting you know a change is coming, but it may not be coming as fast as you want. So my words of advice there, finish well. Amen. And leave a place better than you found it. And like, if he has called you to still be there, hasn't given you a new job opportunity, a new place to be, then like, do that to the best of your ability, like serve as unto the Lord. And it can be hard and you cannot like it. I'm not saying you have to be like, oh my gosh, I love this. Like, there is moments I'm like, I am burnt out, like being on call, all those things. That's a lot of work. But it's like, also there was so much, I guess, like beauty and resilience in that season that I built up. And I'm really grateful. Like I said, people who are encouraging you are so important. I think there was some disappointment. I thought for sure I was going to get this job maybe like 8 to 7 months before I actually like decided to leave, and it didn't work out. But like, ultimately, if that job had worked out, I probably wouldn't have chosen to move. I probably wouldn't be in this season of rest. I think everything does happen for a reason. There's a purpose, and obedience is not always comfortable, and that's okay. Sometimes it has to be a little uncomfortable for you to actually grow. If everything's always perfect, then like, what is a faith that's not tested, you know?
Right. That's so good. So, Zari, how do you know today that God is good?
Yeah, that's a challenging one. I take it at face value and I believe that. But I think when you think about things happening in the world, you look at the news, it's easy to question, where's God's goodness in this? And to really want to ask questions. And like, I say, like, one, if that is you right now, you're like, God, why did you allow this situation to happen to me? This was really traumatic. Why are you allowing all these things in the news to happen? I think it's okay to ask God, where are you in this? And I think I just reflect on scripture, reflect on his sovereignty, and reflect on the fact that like, sin is a part of our world. It's a part of what we experience day to day. Like the negative, traumatic, bad, chaos, all the things are birthed out of sin. And I'm just so grateful that God saw it fit, that he was like, I'm not going to let y'all be in this forever. Like, for example, think about the garden. I love this example that one of our friends shared with us. She was talking about like, a lot of times we think about the garden and Adam and Eve getting kicked out as this ultimate punishment, a bad father, angry father, right? But instead it was like, I can't allow you to live in eternity in this broken world, this sin, this, all these other things. I want to set you free from that. So yes, there is going to be death, but it's going to be temporary. I'm going to send my son to die on the cross. When he does, he's going to reconcile us back together. And then you're going to get eternity with me again. So this thing that Satan tried to rob you of, I'm actually going to bring it back to you. Yes, there's still consequences because of what was done, but I'm going to restore all that was lost. And so I see God's goodness in that, and that he also doesn't like leave us alone in the pain. Like, Jesus suffered immensely. I don't know if y'all have seen the movie The Shack, but it really put, I mean, everything's not perfect about that movie, but it really did put some things in perspective. Like, there's a scene where the character who's supposed to represent God shows their hands and they're like, I was there on the cross too. And it's like, you see the scars from the nails. And I'm like, wow, like Jesus really, like, he could have been like, I'm out, guys. I'm not going on the cross. Okay. I'm not doing that. But he allowed himself to be beaten. I mean, we really downplay the sacrifice of Jesus. You think about, like, if you go to church or you see like some kind of statue of Jesus, like he's covered up and it's like all these different things, but he was actually like, not covered up. You know, he was completely
right.
Shown.
Naked.
It was, yeah, it was brutal. And we downplay mm-hmm. how brutal that was. Jesus wasn't without pain, and yet God is still good through his pain. And I think that really encourages me too. But I think if you are wondering your question, God can handle our questions. And I will, mm-hmm. I ask questions. I will continue to ask questions. I will continue to share my fears and anxieties. I will continue to ask God to remind me of truth through like all those hard times.
I love that. And the reason I asked that was because I grew up like you, a church girl. And I remember, you know, the saints of old, I was about to say the old folks, but the saints of old used to always be like, God is good all the time. God is good. When you would ask them how they're doing. Right. Mm-hmm. And I always used to wonder, like, how did they get to that conclusion? Was it their life? Was it their testimony? And there's so many times where you can look in your life, you're like, I don't know about that. That hurt, that pain, that situation, that circumstance, that was not good in my life. But God is still good because of what he did in our lives through Jesus Christ and the ways in which he has moved throughout creation to make sure that we could be reconciled back to him and so that there can be good in our stories, in our testimonies. And so I love that you pointed back to the garden and just God's love from the beginning and then his sacrifice through Jesus Christ. I mean, I think that if you are struggling, like as you said, to see God's goodness, just look back in scripture. Like God has always been faithful and he's always been good. So when you think about the word of God and you think about your testimony, is there a story or a scripture that you feel really represents your testimony or moves you in a profound way?
I'm going to touch that. I feel like I felt prompted to also share something too about the previous question. Also, like, God's goodness is not our definition of good, right? I think our definition, we confuse like God being good with like, okay, it's going to be flowers, it's going to be roses and good things all the time. But sometimes, like, I was just thinking about this today. It was raining on the way to the race and I was praying, God, please stop letting it rain. And I'm like, imagine if God answered every Christian's prayer to stop raining. Would anything grow?
Wow.
And I was like, what? Like, this is
that's profound.
Like, yeah. So I'm like, it is good sometimes for the rain to come, right? So that was a thought I had today. But going back to your question, yes, a scripture that has been very impactful for me, 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. This was kind of like a big verse for me, especially when I was in college and high school, all the different things when I was going through high school and feeling very set apart from my friends and the rumor was spread and all those different things. Like to stay grounded in Christ, to set an example, to maybe even chart new territory. And with our parents' generation and older, I'm sure every generation feels like they're doing something new that the other generation before them is not doing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that verse just really like challenged me to continue to be set apart, and not knowing that I would be called to be set apart in so many different ways. That is the true reward, to be in relationship with the Lord, to seek after him, to be a light in dark places. So yeah.
Love that. I feel like that scripture was read a lot when I was in youth group, and I have a greater appreciation for it now, because I think you can easily as a young person believe that the Lord is waiting until you get to a certain age to start using you. Yeah. When the truth is that the Lord wants to use you right now. And I love that you can see that even in your testimony, that God wasn't like, oh, after you graduate college, Zari, then I'm going to use you to do all these things. You know, like he's like, don't let no one despise your youth, Zari, because I want to use you right now where you are to influence and be an instrument of my glory right where you are in the communities, in the people that you are surrounded with now. And so, yeah, God is good.
I mean, even think about, too, like Josiah in the Bible, when he became king, he was a kid.
Yeah,
a whole kid. And when he began to like reign, he was out here like getting rid of the Asherah poles and the other gods and all the different things. Like he was setting an example to be better than the kings that came before him. So I'm like, literally, it doesn't matter your age. You can be an example for others.
Yes. And God has used so many people in the Bible. I'm so glad you brought him up because he used so many people in the Bible, like David and Samuel, at young ages to really affect the lives, to proclaim the gospel, to be examples, like you said. And so we forget that and we think that, oh, I can kind of do whatever in my youth, when God may want to use you in a profound way in your youth to lay a foundation for what he wants to do in your life in later years. And so I love that.
I think sometimes it's a temptation of ours to think like, okay, next year I'll get right. Next year I'll spend more time. Tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow this. And it, like, tomorrow is just never promised to us. And it's kind of like prideful to think that we have all this time. Like Jesus could come back and we're doing this podcast right now. Like there's no promise you're going to get all the things you want by the time Jesus comes back. Like he's not going to be like, oh my gosh, you're not married. I'm so sorry. Let me go back to heaven. Like, you know, like none of those things are happening. Like we're on God's time. Every day is a blessing and a gift. And so like today is the day that, well, there's no better day than today than actually like start living out your life for the Lord.
Amen. Now, as you're looking ahead, God willing, there's far more years ahead of you than behind you at this point, Zari, God willing. What are you hopeful for? You mentioned that you're living with your parents right now. You're trying to figure out what God has next for you. What are your hopes? What are your dreams right now with the Lord?
One, I want to, in this current season, just soak up the time I have with my parents. Because I mean, I don't think there's going to be another time like this again. And so, and my parents are only getting older. And so these are times I'm going to look back on fondly. And so I even think like earlier this summer, getting to go to Italy with my mom and my sister and her husband and all that was just so special. And like, I mean, my parents are out of town this weekend and I'm like, come back. I actually miss you guys. And so like, I'm really, even though it's not what I deemed successful to come back home, it has been such a blessing to get to go to meals with my parents and just be in their presence in this time and enjoy that space with them. But some future aspirations, I'm someone who's always on the go, ready to pick up and go wherever the Lord tells me. So maybe I'll move to Texas with you, Britt.
Please,
you know,
God, please.
Maybe, you know, we're still testing that. My parents are like, you just got here. What do you mean move to Texas? But I'm like, I think like, I mean, I would love to start a business. I can really see myself one day like having like a wedding venue and like it really just being a faith center space and like growing in relationship with the couples that come through, hopefully getting to maybe like counsel them with my husband. I would love that. I would love to write a book. I thought I wanted to write like a Christian, like nonfiction book at some point, but I feel like I kind of want to try to dabble in writing a fiction book because like, you know, like I want to write a book that's so good that you don't even realize there's no spicy sex scenes. That would be a goal of mine. Because
so hilarious.
You know, like we need some of that. Like us Christians, we need to live in romance. But we need to be able to read it without having our thoughts go to the gutter, you know?
All other places. Yes. Bring our thoughts under subjection, Jesus.
Right. And then of course I want a family one day. And so a husband, kids, maybe even adopting one day would be really cool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I thought at one point I was thinking about it when I was in North Carolina, but I was like, I think like fostering and all those things, I think a challenge for me is like, I want to be in a place that if I do decide to foster in the goal of fostering is that that child be reunited with their family. But if not, they would be able to stay with you. And I realized I wasn't in that space at the time that I was considering starting to foster. But when I'm married, I hope that would be a space that I can hopefully open up to someone who is in need of a family, love, a home, all those things. So that's kind of like a vision I have for myself. And I'm sure there's more to come, but also just our friend groups and like all the different friends we'll make along the way, the friends we have outside of this space, like growing and seeing each other with our kids, our spouses, and like seeing them grow up and all those things, like seeing my sisters and their children. I think it's just like being able to live a slow life is a goal and dream of mine. Like a slow, present life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. I especially love the dream of you possibly moving to Texas.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Yes. Yes. So if I move to Texas, guys, we won't be on Riverside anymore. We can be in person.
We can, because this virtual life is not our favorite life. We loved being in person and being able to see each other and feed off of each other. And I'm sure you guys have enjoyed when we were together as well. You just enjoy us, period. You don't, if you're listening, you don't know the difference. So it doesn't matter.
But if you're watching, you do. Okay. Oh my God.
We love it. We love it. Was there anything that you didn't get a chance to share about what God has done in your life up to this point that you want to share?
I think something too, I would go back to, and maybe that I feel prompted to share. It's like I had shared earlier about like the suicide ideation, depression, all those things. And that might be something that someone is dealing with right now. And I encourage you to talk to people around you, let people know what you're going through. Seek help. That's so important. Don't do it alone. And I think too, sometimes we think like once you come to know the Lord, you're going to automatically not have those feelings. And I'm telling you, like, sometimes those feelings are still real. Like, especially you get me close to, and this is a little TMI, but you get me close to a period, I think I'm going crazy a little bit, you know, hormones, all the things.
Correct.
Community, really important. Right. People, letting people in, don't suffer in silence, and invite God into your suffering. I know that like Paul talks about having a thorn in his side, and we never really know what that thorn is. There's people have speculated what it could have been, but like there may be things in your life that continue to be a thorn in your side until the day we meet back with Jesus in eternity. And it's like inviting your community, inviting God, and seeking help through those things is so important. So that's the last bit, knowledge, wisdom that I'll drop on the episode today.
So much knowledge. Thank you so much for just sharing a little bit about you. I mean, you can't really share all of everything about you in like 30 minutes. You just can't. But I think just what you shared today, I know people are going to be blessed by it. And I know people are going to have more questions, which will be great because it gives us an opportunity to talk about more things and to dive into different aspects of your story even more. But I appreciate you opening up to me, to the listeners. And I'm going to pray us out and pray for you and pray for those who may be listening as well. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind and gracious and wonderful and good. We are so grateful for Zari's testimony and how you have used her already in so many incredible ways to affect the lives of everyone around her, but also to grow in her relationship with you. Lord, I pray that for those who are listening and are navigating transitions, who are sitting right now and wondering whether they should take a leap of faith and act in obedience to what you've called them to do and are worried about what will happen after they step out. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them in this episode to go all in for you because you are worth it. And they may not step out in faith and experience all of the things that they hope for, but Lord, they get to step out in obedience and gain peace and joy and see the fruit of their obedience in the days and months and years to come. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage all of us to remain steadfast, to remain faithful, to be in community, to seek help, to be open with those in our communities about the things that we're struggling with. And ultimately, Lord, would you draw us closer to you? We lift you up. We praise you. We honor you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Bye.